shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this privilege to be in your house. Lord, we know that it's your grace that has kept us alive, and we want to serve you with the health you are giving to us as long as we live. Thank you, Eternal Father, for last week. Lord, your mercy upon us, your grace, your favor, your blessings, your protection, journey mercies, and provision for our needs, healings, and everything you accomplish in our life. We are grateful to you. Thank you for bringing us this morning. Thank you for the blessings in the Sunday school. Thank you for special numbers. Thank you for the worship service. We bless your holy name. We are still in expectation as the service continues, and we pray that your grace will come down once again and bring your blessings unto us. Lord Jesus, it might look as if we are only talking to a section of people, but Father, you walk in mysterious ways, your wonders are performed. We pray that you not leave any of us out. Speak to us, Lord, the things that we need to know, and now we need to prepare for that in this journey. Have your way, Eternal Father. Once again, we remember our pastor at home and the wife. We ask, Lord, that you quicken, Lord, the body of your servant fully. And very shortly, Lord, restore him back to church and to his post of duty, O God. Let it be, Eternal Father. Be with your servant at Bakatari this morning. Lord, we also pray for your servant that traveled to Lagos. We pray you will be with him and see him through the purpose of his journey. Others who have traveled, may you watch over them also. Thank you, Eternal Father. At the end of this service, may we have recourse to give glory and honor to you. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. Can please be seated. Praise be to God. Just a moment. All right. We are standing on holy ground, and we know there are angels all around. Let us pray, yes, Jesus. In his presence, on holy, on some Sunday school that we want to build upon. Today the Lord, it will stay in the archives for the, and we are not a denomination, and it must be only based on the scriptures, because God has sent to us a prophet, and the prophet has brought to us the mind of God concerning anything at this time. And anyone that operates outside of that, he will be found to be out of God's way. So for us to be found in God's way, we try to follow everything that we have been shown in the scriptures. It's been some time that I wanted to speak on this, I discussed it with the pastor, and himself was expecting it, but this is the time that the inspiration seems to come. The Lord bless you all. Shall rise. We are reading. Welcome, Sister Bartholomew Ogu, back from the trip. Yeah, just remember that we met in Lagos, and I know she's back here now. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We start from verse 9, or maybe we start from verse 8. I actually wanted to read from verse 1. Maybe we should just read from verse 4. So that. From verse 4. This is black. Alright. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. For speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Romans chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. Can please be seated. In the Sunday school, we read, because I'm not going to read those ones again, otherwise we'll be stopping at the same bus stop. We read the question number 107 of the COD. I will just read the question, but I'm not going to read the content. I will only summarize it. The person said, Brother Branham, if these questions are out of line, then just disregard them. And I won't feel bad about it, for I will know it was not the hand of the Lord. Question number one. Brother Abraham, I have heard that you say I should be back in the ministry. And I have thought upon it myself, but I waited upon some definite word from him about it. Up to date, it hasn't come. Now, since I know the end is so near, should I still wait for the Lord Jesus to speak to me? Or will he be pleased to tell you what to tell me, since I know you are a spokesman for this day? Amen. Reverend, appreciated the brother for recognizing that we are at the end of time. And Reverend also said that God will have to speak to the brother himself, not he, Brother Abraham. Say, because if God speaks to Brother Abraham and anything happens along the way, maybe he die or he go away or whatsoever, then the ministry of the person is over. Because the person is acting on what Brother Abraham said, that God said. Brother Abraham said that will be a personal encounter with the person and God. Then generally, the prophet said that the person has to check his motives and objectives, whether he's, the person is thinking that that would be a better job. Because to some people, to become a minister is to, one, stand in the place of honor. Like I said, this is a place of honor, quite all right. But it is more of dishonor than it is of honor. You only need to experience it once, then you will learn your lesson. Number two, it is not a better job. If that thought comes in somebody's heart, Brother Abraham said the call is not from God. You are only looking for me tickets. He said, just forget about it. What are your motives and your objectives? Is it that you are feeling that you have influence? People will become more popular or whatsoever. Forget about ability to search. Even sisters can search. Sisters who can they search? They can search. You talk to some of them like this and they tell you that Sibu Brother Abraham said. Sibu Brother Abraham said. Sibu Brother Abraham said. And if Brother Abraham said, you cannot say, did not say. You have to acknowledge that true to Brother Abraham said. May the Lord be our help. And they are, of course, they are expected to also know the quotes, because they are pastors at home over their children. If they don't know what the quote says, there is no how they will be able to tell their children anything. So they must know also the quotes. If they don't know the quote, then why are they in church? And if they don't know the quote, the scripture went further to say that if they don't understand anything that is said in church, they should ask their husband at home. It means that God wants them to know what is said in church. So God wants them to know the quotes. Amen. The prophet said that you should be very sure that it is God that is calling. He said, if not, you are going to be a failure. Be sure that it is God that is calling. Otherwise, you are going to hit the rocks. And not that you think that, at least by the time you preach for, I'm going to say some personal things this morning. I'll be very, very plain. Very, very plain. I'm not going to hide anything anywhere. I'll be very plain as possible. May the Lord be our help. Maybe a set of salary is on the way. You have a good house. You have a good family. Let me tell you straight away that every minister that have a house today here, the church never built house for them. Neither did we even get the money from church. It is from our personal struggles and God's blessings, not from the monies we get from the church. As we are speaking now, the church cannot conveniently feed the ministers and meet their needs. Up to now. Secondly, every minister that you see riding a vehicle here did not get the money from the church. Even the pastor, his son bought the vehicle, the jeep for him, before gave him the vehicle before he passed. I think you are aware of that. So if somebody ever have that thought in mind, you have missed road. You have missed road. Up till now, I see enter bush to survive. Run up and down until my body will be so weak, you almost faint. I am telling you the honest truth. will be plain today, because it's a sensitive matter, and we should not be found to be deceivers. No, brother, the pastor, the last sermon he preached before he broke down, he said some people think that when the offering is taken, everything is handed over to the pastor. He says it's not so. Even added that, they say, Bamio. The deacons are in charge of the offerings. The ones that they don't spend officially here, the rest goes to the church account. And some months, they will not even send cobalt to that church account, because the local needs is more than what comes in. But some have the mind that the plate I see pass now, money plenty there. It's because you don't know how the money goes. May the Lord be our help. We learn from God commissioning Moses, paragraph 5 to 7, and Abraham was trying to say that Moses, who we all know that God ordained him as the deliverer to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land, yet Moses was running away. And Abraham told us that in most cases, the people that are called by God, they run away from it. If anybody see what is inside the ministry actually ahead before you enter, you will never desire to enter. Abraham says that some people desire the ministry. He said, never you desire it because you don't know what is inside. If you are the type that reads very well and you know all the prophet went through, he never enjoyed for one day. It was suffering from the beginning to the end. It's the slightest disobedience like this one caused him the death of four people in his family. Not a complete disobedience, so you just postpone. The thing that he should do, he just postpone it. That will go later, but not now. Because the mother-in-law have said this one, he lost four people. He cried to God, cry, God never hear. Until God sent the blast, until I never listen to you. You can weep as much as you will. Maybe God will as much as give him a towel. Oh yeah, be dropping your tears when he fool, then you know that. Amen. We read from preparation, paragraph 61, when the prophet said that the denominations, when anybody feel a call there, the next thing is that they go to the seminary, where sometimes Abraham calls it symmetry. That is the little life that is inside of the person, and that's where they're going to remove it. It's seminary, theological school. The person teaching you there is a sinner. He is not qualified to handle God's word at all. And they don't even know what it is for somebody to be a preacher. They don't know the qualification of who a preacher is. So in the message, we do not have any seminary where we send anybody for training. Everyone is trained by the Holy Spirit. The only training the prophet talked about is that the one that have a call, when we actually see the call, then the person will attend ministers meeting where he will also gain more experience. But today, people, once they feel a little cold, they want to go to that place, and then after they have already announced themselves as a minister, if the thing is not working out, to withdraw will be a problem. So for me, it is best to first of all see that the ministry is vindicated to be a ministry, a call. Not that you'll be mature at that one, but to be a call first before you go and announce yourself anywhere. Otherwise, once you announce yourself, to now go and many are ashamed now. They come a little while, they don't come again, because the thing is not working out what they thought. Then when they go into gatherings, maybe convention or whatever somewhere, they still want to go and sit as a minister. Even though right in their own churches, they cannot even say they are ministers, because of the introduction they are giving to themselves. premature. May the Lord be our help. God is never in a hurry. He is human being that is always in a hurry. God is never in a hurry. What is it that you want to collect there? Where is the sinner you want to save? The sinners are there. We don't need to come here before the sinner is saved. You can go and preach to the sinner if that the sinner need to be preached to. You don't need to go and stand here before you preach to sinners. Amen. Right. Let's proceed. Like I said, the prophet told us when we read from the Message Fellowship, also in the Sunday School, I think that will end the, yes, the main one, that each one of us, not ministers now, every member of the body of Christ has a ministry. But we are talking about someone who is a Christian. We are talking of someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Has a ministry. Because we'll still get there. Without the Holy Ghost, you will only be projecting yourself. We only be projecting the spirit of your family. Like we know that every family has spirits. Tribes have spirits. Nations have spirits. So without the Holy Ghost, you project the spirit of your nation, of your tribe, and of your family. This will be the things that will be visibly seen in you as you carry the gospel. And you are not going to by that be a true witness. You'll be witnessing for yourself and your family. You'll be witnessing for your tribe and be witnessing for your nation. And the prophet said that someone who hasn't met God is going to be, and who wants to do it, is going to be a stop shot. A stop shot is someone who is proud. We read also in the Future Home, paragraph 253 and 254, that one is short, that's the last we read. I will repeat that one now as we proceed with the sermon. Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom and the Earthly Bride, paragraph 253 and 254. No man, no person, no woman, boy or girl, I don't care who he is fit to go in the pulpit or even claim to be a Christian without being filled with the Holy Ghost. You have no right to the Lord's Supper or any communion, feet washing, or anything until you have been cleansed by the holy fire of God. No man has a right to preach unless you, like Moses, meet him out there on that sacred ground, that pillar of fire hanging there where he knows where he is at. Amen. That is a qualification, the first qualification of a minister. After he feels the call, the first thing he has to be sure of is that he has an experience with God. The call. Then the Holy Ghost baptism. Say the person should know it, that you know where you are standing. You know that someone, Abraham said, where no man can explain it away from you. Also, I want to read from Questions and Answers of the Holy Ghost, paragraph 48. Questions and Answers on the Holy Ghost, paragraph 48. Say, now notice, Jesus had commissioned them to go up at Jerusalem and wait. The word tarry means to wait. Doesn't mean to pray, it means to wait. They was not fit subjects yet to preach. Because they only knew his resurrection by his person, of seeing him outside. Peter and the rest of the apostles and Thomas, they knew that he rose, and Cleopas and his friend, they knew he rose from the dead because they saw him physically. Cleopas and his friend knew him because they saw that what he normally do, he did it in their front. Hey, no man has done this before, it's only the master. He did it and he vanished. And the prophet said, these people only knew him outside. They only knew him, knew his resurrection by his person, or seeing him outside. He commanded them not to preach anymore, not to do nothing until first they had been endued with power from on high. I don't believe that any preacher is sent of God or can be correctly ordained, because God is infinite, and what God does once, he does all the time. Now, if God would not let them preach until they had went to Pentecost and received the Pentecostal experience, no man, unless some deep desire of his own, deep desire of his own, because there are some people that is what pushed them into preaching, deep desire of their own, or some organization has commissioned him, has the right to enter the pulpit until he has been filled with the Holy Ghost. That is exactly right. Because he is leading them by an intellectual conception of some organization until he is filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he is giving them the food of the dove, the lamb and the dove, as he speak of last evening. Amen. That is the qualification of a minister. Let's go further. We are reading from Marriage and Divorce, paragraph 221. Marriage and Divorce, paragraph 221. There is no minister that can marry a widow. Did you know that? The prophet is asking questions. This unusual quietness is uncalled for. Because we are reading the code that all of us say we believe. Whether it concern you, it no concern you. In fact, it concern all of us. Because if by all that we are reading, if the people here are not qualified, then you are just here for a picnic. Did you know that? You want to read that? All right. You get in the Leviticus, Leviticus 21:7, and Ezekiel 44:22. And it will show you that the priesthood was not to marry a woman that has been touched by man. This type is of the virgin bride of Jesus Christ, because they handled the fire of God. The priest did. Aaron's sons. We haven't got time to read it all and get out by noon. We got 20 minutes yet. And them is Aaron's son that handled the fire of God. So they could not marry a woman that had been touched by another man. The unchanging God says so. Unchanging means something that is continuous, that cannot change. The pattern he started with is what he will continue with. That is a qualification that system quoting up to now. We have ministers have their opinions on that, different ministers, but we are not bound by people's opinion. Here, this is what we believe. They could not marry another woman, and a woman being touched by a man, showing in type here, if you want to see it, that the church of the living God is purely unadulterated, the word of God. and not a denomination that has been handled by man. Amen. In clear terms, a minister must marry a virgin. I don't know why only one amen or something will stand in a congregation like this one. I don't know what people believe before. If you are not believing what you are, you write questions. If you are not believing what I am reading from the prophet, maybe you have seen another messenger that is preaching to you, or that you believe his message, let me know at the end of the service. Or even before I finish preaching, I can have your notes. Amen. Then we will go further. A minister also, though he is ministering, if he gets a point that his wife divorces him, Brother Brown said that takes him off the pulpit. We have ministers who are divorced, who have remarried, and they are preaching anyhow. But the message is our standard. Hebrews chapter 7, part 1, paragraph 136. There is a little old girl sitting back there tonight, my wife. We are reading 136 and 137. I love her with all that is in me. And if I know that I could run around with another woman and get by with it and go tell her, say, Mida, I did wrong, do you think I'll do it? If I love her right, I won't do it. That's right. Now, what if I'll say, oh, I can't do it because I tell you why, she will divorce me and I'm a preacher. See, what would that do? What that will do, that will take me out of the pulpit if she would divorce me. A divorced man. Once a preacher is divorced by his wife, that is the end of the ministry. I don't care how the ministry is spitting fire and brimstone. The ministry comes to an end. The anointing that we use to preach is a gift of God that God put on somebody when it is needed. And he can put it on anybody. Somebody else can come up today and preach everyone that is preaching presently now. Because the anointing is not what a man can bring on himself. It is from God. And God releases it for the benefit of his children. So God is not tied to any human being at all. No matter how great the ministry is, when God says that I'm done with the person, the anointing continues somebody else. When Peter in the scripture passed on, does that end the ministry? When Paul died, does that end the ministry? All the apostles, when they died, does that end the ministry? That's how it will never end. For you to, let's read from Possessing All Things, paragraph 1, paragraph 39. Possessing All Things, paragraph 39. And right here, we could start. I believe that when God calls a man to service, if he's a married man and has a helpmate, he calls his wife with him because they two are one. When God calls a minister, his wife is part of that call. So if the life of the wife does not complement that ministry, the ministry will have a question mark. It cannot prosper. It cannot prosper. No matter how much the anointing is, the word is first. Amen. And if the woman is called with the man, that is why she won't divorce the man too. They are all interwoven. Let's see from the stature of a perfect man. Paragraph 139. The stature of a perfect man. Paragraph 139. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Now, there is the trouble. We find those things happening. You know it, I know it. We see these stumbles along the road. We find a scrap heap of ministers, of Christians, piled along the road. It's because they didn't go into it right. Scrap heaps of ministers and of Christians. There are many who start in the race, but with the light they refuse to keep pace. Others accept it because it is new, but not very many expect to go through. On this road, tension will be put on everybody. Whether you like it or not, tension will be put on you that whatsoever is inside of you, we have to come out. You can't escape it, except you don't come at all. You come to this message of the hour, it's not a hiding place. I tell you, it's not a hiding place. A day is coming. It will remain only you. Nobody will stand for you. Nobody will be at your back. Nobody will be by your side. Now only you like this are the only thing we focus on. And you know that this is me in this matter. And if you don't have a stand, that will be the end of the road. That will come for everybody. Except you are not in this message. Scrap heap. Is it we stay plenty in the church as church members, indifferent, lukewarm, not moving forward, not going backward, like stagnated water, cesspool? It's because we didn't go into it right. Brother Abraham said that in the beginning, that he take those people and teach them what repentance is. Repentance is a great mystery. I was talking to somebody. I said, there are two types of repentance. There is repentance that is forced. And then there is repentance that is genuine from God. The one that is approved of God is the one that is genuine. This one that is forced is only for the purpose of fellowship. When you say, okay, you have done this one. You say this here, you say this here, you say this here, you say, oh, yeah, come on, make it right. And maybe first of all you do both face. But when we say 30 days or 1 week, look at it that this is so. Then you come and say you are sorry. It's a repentance. That goes for fellowship. Once you say you are sorry, fellowship continues, isn't it? But if the one in the eye does not happen, you are only sitting down as a member. As far as God is concerned, that sin is never under the blood. Repentance is a mystery. I took it here about two or three times, about either year 2020 or 2021. That God had to touch your heart. If you look at the scripture, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible said that when their hearts were pricked, God dealt with them in their heart, and their heart were pricked, and they now ask questions, what shall we do? And then they were told. First of all, their hearts were pricked. Their hearts were condemned. They know that they are guilty. They know they are fit to die. Then the thing came out. What shall we do? That is repentance. And that is what God recognizes.
Brother Abraham, I forgot the message now. I think whether, okay, but I will just quote it, whether in all things or something like that. Brother Abraham says, he said, the children of Israel. That is what led to Isaiah chapter 1. The children of Israel. God told them, when you do this one, you bring a lamb. And because the people are rich in animals, Brother Abraham said it got to a time that the offerings that they were bringing become a family tradition. Is it not only one lamb, your case we take? I will deal with you. They have lambs. What am I kind? Lambs, they. Whether now 3 years or 2 years, they all day. Black or red, I get them. What? I get them different. If it is lamb, if it is a goat, if it is anything, turtle, dove, I get them. I will deal with you. And then bring the lamb. Now they were bringing the lamb. But Abraham said, scripturally speaking, they have done what Jehovah said. He said, but in reality, they have done nothing. Why? Because in their hearts, there is no repentance. There is no remorse. There is no sorry. There is no soberness. They are doing it because they have what it takes. And that is why Jehovah rejected it. He said, your offerings are stinking in my nose. He said, who asked you to come and tread at my courts? So, except the reason why we stay so long, no Holy Spirit, that's why Abraham always said that go back and check the beginning. Whether you did not repent correct. He said, if the repentance is genuine, God is obligated. God is obligated. And when you don't have repentance that is genuine, you see people carrying on the same thing. They continue in the same thing. No change. No. When you see somebody that is repented, that is why the Bible said that there is fruit of repentance. John was saying it. Jesus also said it. Bring forth fruits that is meant for repentance. Don't begin to say that we have Abraham our father. He said, because God is of this kind of this one, raised children to Abraham. And then you see, we continue the same thing. Wife, do the same thing. Husband, do the same thing. Brother, do the same thing. Wife, what did I bring the message for so many years? They will still fight. Uh-huh. They will still fight. They will still fuse. They will still tell lies. They will still drink. They will still fornicate. They will still commit adultery. They will still do every evil you can think of. Because the repentance was not genuine. Repentance go with an experience. The prophet says so. When you genuinely repent, he says some heavy load are lifted. He said the best is different. You feel light feet, and because the bodies are rolled away. And the prophet quoted the scripture. Say, being justified by faith, we have peace with the Lord. When Abraham was talking of justification, then he mentioned that statement from the book of Romans. There's a peace that goes with repentance. If you do not repent, your sins are not yet under the blood. It could be covered from the face of man, but knowing that it's not under the blood. The one that is under the blood is the one that follows repentance. And I can't repent for you. You can't repent for me. You have to repent for yourselves. But knowing of necessity that if you come into this journey and you are not repented, you are not entitled to the Holy Spirit. You are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you will never make the rapture. You are going to go into the great tribulation. Maybe those things you think we are telling stories. One of it is if you come to reality. My thing, we are telling stories. Some, they really want to stay where the gospel is preached too hard, like Lot did. The reason why Lot went away from Abraham, it was because that the gospel was too strict. That's what the messenger said. But Abraham said, Lot went away from Abraham because the way he preaches his sermon, it was too strict. This their church is too hard. Can you be too hard when you are repeating what God said? God said we should do this. He said we cannot do this one. He said we can do this, we cannot do this one. Period. We are only repeating what God has said. And that is all. If that is what he calls strictness, then God himself is strict. Any minister that will come behind the sacred desk to come and just make the ears of the people to tingle, to just make them to be laughing at everything, is not called from God. It's only there for me ticket. Food for the belly. Belly for food, God will destroy all of them. Amen. Abraham said, if you don't want to hear it here, one day you will hear it. Everybody that comes to this ark is ordained to hear it. So if you don't hear it now, you will hear it at the judgment bar. That one is sure. He says, some men sins go before them to the judgment. When Christ is presently sitting on the mediatorial seat, when he's still pleading for the sins of the people, when your sins can still go under the blood, if you repent now and you straighten your ways, then you obtain mercy. See the scripture. He that will repent and will forsake his sin, he said he will obtain mercy. He that cover it, what did he say he will do? He said he will not prosper. It is God that said it, not be me. God said, you that cover your sin, you cannot prosper. That is the gospel that we believe. Amen. Let's continue our subject. Question 109 in this theory. Question 109. How does one know their rightful position in the body of Christ? That is a good one. Very good. That would be the kind of question amongst many of us here tonight. How do you rightfully know? Now, I'm presuming that this brother wants to know what position, what in Christ, what part of Christ do I play? Now, for instance, I'll say like this, brother, to give you the best answer I know, your position in Christ is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. So if somebody does not have the Holy Ghost, how does he know his position? And then if you want to know whether it is the Holy Spirit or not, find out whether he blesses what you are doing or not. And if he blesses it, then that is him. If he doesn't bless, the prophet leave that one for you to complete it. Like someone said to me not long ago, said, the Lord called me to preach. I said, well, then preach. I relate things to Satan. If he can just get somebody to act like that, and then deceive them, that is just what he wants to do. Then the whole world points their finger right there. Somebody thinks they have a gift of speaking in an interpretation. Some have the gift of divine healing. Some have these things. Sometimes they are mistaken in those things. See? And sometimes they think they haven't got it when they have. So it is very tricky. You may have it. Satan is trying to make you to as if you don't have. You may not have it. And Satan is trying to make you to think that you have it. In this sense, you must lay on your face and call heaven down and be 100% sure. Otherwise, you are heading towards the cataract. So always do this, brethren. Whenever you feel that you are supposed to do a thing, first find out if it is scriptural for you to do it. If it is in scripture, not just wrote in one place, but I mean completely scriptural, through the Bible for you to do it, your position. Say, if you be an evangelist, pastor, teacher, prophet, whatever that God might have called you to be, you see, Or if you have the gift of tongues, gift of interpretation, gift of any kind of innate spiritual gifts in the church, and the four spiritual offices of the church, any position, foresee if God called. For instance, a preacher. For him to see that he's called of God, when he's filling the call, fine. The Holy Ghost baptism. Now suppose he has married somebody else's wife. He has married a divorcee. Though he may be feeling this one, though he may have this one, then this one has disqualified him. So somebody cannot run with only one thing. The other one must be there. Thoroughly and thoroughly it must flow through. Because God is not a bad businessman. He's a perfect one. When Sarah and Abraham made their journey to Egypt, and when they made their journey together, Abraham in each of the trip was telling the wife, the place we are going, they don't fear God. The way you are beautiful, they are likely to take you and kill me. So, you tell them I'm your brother, I will say you are my sister. He did that with Abimelech, and Abimelech got Sarah and put her in the women's room for preparation. Surrender the wife. They are quiet. Forget about the promise that God has made for him. They were going to have a son through this Sarah. Gave the wife to another person because he just wants to live. But because God is the owner of the business, is the one that did the arrangement and the calling, it was not Abraham that went to go and talk to Abimelech that and God promised me that I will have a wife through this woman. I don't know. And it is not possible if Abimelech lived for Sarah once, it is impossible for Abraham to have him back. Ababa. That is the end. That is, the Bible says that is worse. The night of preparation for marriage, God went to tell Abimelech. After he was, Abraham said, he put on his pyjamas and said his night prayers. Because the Bible says he was a righteous man. Say, you are as good as a dead man. As good as what? As a dead man. Say, you have somebody's wife in your house. Not just a man, but my prophet. Say, God, say, you know the integrity of my heart. I don't do a thing like that. Once I know that he is somebody's wife, I wash my hand. But he himself told me with his own mouth that he just his sister. Even the woman too say she is my brother. And I thought I would be his in-law. That's just all. God said, integrity or no integrity. The truth of the matter is that she is his wife. And as long as he's in your house, every woman's womb is closed. Nobody will ever conceive in this house again. Until she goes out of care. Nobody will ever conceive. That's number one. Number two, if you are sluggish in sending her back to the man, I will kill all of you. God was making me sure, putting fear on the man, that you don't even put delay tactics. God is not interested in any delayed tactics at all. Quick. Send him back. Not only that one, let him come and pray for you. If not, the womb are closed. He's the one to pray to open them back. Now, that is how God protects his gifts. So, if this call is of God, he protects it thorough and thorough. Give the man the right type of a wife. A virgin, the man will be a compliment to the ministry. The man will not divorce this man, and so on and so forth, because they are all together. If anything goes out of kata, the ministry is ruined. And Brother Abraham said, any ministry that the word of God ruins, it ought to be ruined. There are ministries like that that have been ruined by God's word, but human being is patching it. Let's go ahead. Gifts and callings of God that without repentance. Then usually, where I watch it for myself, this is me, that's the prophet now, I watch the nature of the person and see what kind of a gift they are, that they are professing. See, God will work with his creature the way he has made it. If you see him really flighty and going on, and he says, the Lord called me for such and such to be a pastor, now a pastor can't be a flighty person. A pastor is solid and sound. Not the way jump here, the whole thing is gritty. It doesn't work like that. God called me to be a teacher and watch him how he interprets the word. See, he gets it all mixed up and everything, then you can tell. But then the thing to do is your position is known whether you can do it or not. God called me to be an evangelist. I wanted to be a pastor. And I thought staying at home where I would be, just be fine. Of course, God showed in 1933 that his pulpit is in the sky. His pulpit is the world. He himself could not know exactly what that one means then. But that's what God told him. I told him to do the work of an evangelist and make him the full proof of his ministry. Yet is a prophet of Malachi 4. And the Lord called me, and finally all the people got to. There's not a one of them left tonight in here that they cried and went out here on 1717 Spring Street. And the lady Mrs. Hopkins over here met me and said, crying during the time of depression, when one in the neighborhood will cook a mess of beans, I will all call me and eat from that. That is how Brother Abraham started his ministry. One plate of beans, people will gather to eat it because there is no food anywhere. We are still coming to more things. Brother Abraham, the messenger of the age, when he wedded, according to the description of this guy, about four people were present. About four people were present when Brother Carpenter, the one that preached, I mean that ordained, that blessed the wedding, when he nailed it. His name was Brother Carpenter. Only four people. When he started as a married person, he was living in just one room. Today, question? Right. That's good. God bless you, sir. Can a pastor whose wife has passed away marry a widow? No, sir. Which, can he marry a widow who wasn't a virgin before marriage? That is the danger of this widow thing. That scripture in the Old Testament said, in the Old Testament I'm saying, that a priest can marry the widow of a former priest. Now in the Old Testament, you cannot mimic it. Are you with me? You can't mimic it. If a woman is not a virgin, she will be stoned to death. But today, this is only between the people. They will just close it in. You know, when we first of all come to this ministry, where we fall in the beginning of the message, a sister that is not a virgin does not cover her face with veil. Is that the truth? But at a point in time, they say they're coming to her head. That then everybody has choose that one. So you know which one is which now. So you that want to marry the widow of somebody, do you, like this one, we said that, say, who was it a virgin before marriage? Even the one that said that, he was a, do you know? In this day that people will do evil and say they will be spared by the pillar of fire, they never do it. You put your hand in something that there's no solution to. That's the end of the matter. And even the quote I read, paragraph 221, Brother Abraham did not repeat that statement, which was said in the Old Testament. Brother Abraham did not repeat it in that sermon. Why he omitted it, I don't know. So to be on the safe side, me, I will do away with that. Let's go ahead. It's not compulsory everybody agree with what I say. I'm talking my conviction of the message. Yeah. During the time of depression, when one in the neighborhood will cook a mess of beans, I will all come in and eat from that. And she said, I will allowance my children at the table if you only build the tabernacle. See? And my calling was an evangelist. The money laying right here at this cornerstone, if you could bust in there tonight, you will see a fly leaf off of my Bible where he told me to be an evangelist. And I wasn't a successful pastor, never will be, because I haven't got the patience and what it takes to be a pastor. See? So therefore, if I try to pastor, I will just be as far out as a pastor is trying to be an evangelist. See what I mean? You can see the way the Lord calls you, what your position is in the body. Reverend Abraham says, is there a question? Let me say this before we proceed. This Brother Abraham called as an evangelist. Yet, he first of all pastored Abraham Tabernacle for 17 years before the field of evangelism opened. He also pastored another church in Midtown. I don't know how long before Brother Orr took over as a pastor. We'll talk about that one later. In the message where Christ speaks, paragraph 197. The prophet said, a public service is a minister to serve the public, to be the underdog, to take these knocks and brawls of the public. Whatever it is, stand there. And if you haven't got grace enough to smile and take it, then you ought to go back to Calvary and reconfirm your commission. That is what you are supposed to do now. You can't see it. Just type underdog. It has only one hit. Then you bring this one out. Hey. Why Christ speak, paragraph 194. A public service is a minister to serve the public, to be the underdog, to take these knocks and brawls of the public. Whatever it is, stand there. And if you haven't got grace enough to smile and take it, then you ought to go back to Calvary and reconfirm your commission. That is what you are supposed to do now. If you think it's a place of honor, people will abuse you. People will look down on you. People will ridicule you. Because this place is a place of offense. This is where people are offended.
when you preach the truth and doesn't go with somebody, they don't feel happy. Sometimes, but me as a person, I never pull one hair out of my body. Once I know that what I preach is the message, I'm very, very fine. I don't want to know whether somebody greets me or no greets me. I don't even know who greets you, no greet. If you greet, you greet. No greet, no greet. The people that greet, I get time to greet them first. So I don't get time. Yoruba said that the person that look at Yahweh's wife, now I know the one that is there. Ntoba woju Yahweh. You poor Yoruba people now, majority. Now I want to take some scriptures before I look at about three quotes, and then we close. The Lord bless you. First Thessalonians, oh yes, First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we will not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. That is how Brother Paul preached the gospel. That's how he preached the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. He said, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2. I will read the entire chapter. After which, we also go to Titus and read the entire chapter. Then we go to Corinthians. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Let me pause there. If a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. No. Lawfully is to go about it according to God's instructions and orders. Now there are people, I've seen cases where young men, they don't know them as minister at all in their church, but they go to places and then go and be displayed there as ministers. That in itself is a sign of carnality. That in itself has put question mark on the call. That cannot go far, because that is contrary to the message belief. Charity begins at home. If you have a call, declare it. Let us examine you. Let's examine you by the word. Let's examine you if you are qualified. And because of all this, some have made a shipwreck. There are people, because they don't listen to instructions of the elder, they have somersaulted. And the ministry has been dented, and that is just all. I was in an assembly one day when one happened like that. It was like the money in the valley of Adadrimo. It happened in my presence. I know what I'm talking about. This is not a denomination.
Someone has got to follow. This message came with instructions. It came with order. It came with doctrines. And you have to follow it exactly. And no matter how much you can punch on your phone, don't think you know one that is ahead of you. You are heading for a fall. People that pastor will talk to, and they will just be jumping up and down. Where are they today? They made a shipwreck. So we just add a little gift like this, blue, 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 and then they begin to raise shoulder up and down. You will just destroy yourself. Don't destroy yourself. The husband man that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer, even unto God, but the word of God is not bound. These are the things that Brother Paul went through as a preacher of the gospel. Anyone that is not ready for that, because you don't know what God put on your path, that is not ready for that, don't try it. You want to be an evangelist and you cannot be detached from your wife, you are missing your way. You are missing your way. You are missing your way. Because sometimes it might happen that necessity will separate both of you for months. And if you are not, if you haven't got a good solid wife that can hold the house, then you don't have a ministry at the end of the day. Everything will just collapse. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Can we say amen to that? It's simple and straightforward. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we say we don't know him, he said don't know us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Because unbelief does not hinder God. On these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they serve not by words to no profit, but to the subverting of the ears. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study today is not just searching code. Before we start searching code, the code enter computer 1996. That is when the first info base was produced by Neil Alava and Amos Alava. Before then, it was hard copy. And you have to read from kiva to kiva to know what to tell the people. That time we have Shreveport series, Canada series, this one series. So you have to know which one you are quoting from, the page and the rest of it. But today, great quote. It is more than that. That is why quotes we should jump each other today. You don't know anything. You search sometimes by the words that you know should be the word, and that's not the word that is used there. And yet the quote is hiding somewhere. But the people that have studied the sermon themselves, they know what is there. So after you run up and down, it's not in the message, you finally come to hear that it is in the message. May the Lord be our help.
study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But some profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Emmanuel and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. These are the people that were believing errors in the days of Brother Paul, and overthrew the faith of Saul. Because when anybody raised up error today, some people will believe it. We have people teaching polygamy, and people believe it. Yes, up to now, people are still teaching polygamy, and people believe it. There are some people that they don't even recognize this fivefold. It's as if only one ministry. There is fivefold. There is fivefold. There are apostles, and there are prophets, and there are evangelists, there are pastors, and there are teachers, and their ministry differ from person to person. Two apostles will not operate at the same level. Two evangelists will not operate at the same level. Two pastors will not operate at the same level. And so on and so forth. But each person will still fulfill their call. Let's go ahead. I think I'm just going ahead of myself because I still put the scriptures down that I want to read. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seed. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. But for righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Some will be quoting when Paul and Barnabas had disagreement about the missionary journey. That is different from people fusing today. You see something happen in the church, one will carry the pulpit, the other one will go and carry the engine, this one will go and carry fan. The one with the tight box, we hold it. The treasurer will say, well, this money belongs to my own group. All of them are not born again. Or people that are smart, they carry themselves to court. There's no Christianity in that one. There is no Holy Spirit there. Once you carry matter to court or whatsoever, church hand is off. Any law agent, whatever, let them do their work. And if after you, if you still believe the message, or you still want to believe the message, then you come back. They will give you what you supposed to be given, and then you continue the journey. But in the course of taking the lashes, if you feel that it's embarrassing to you, then you can find your level. We are not looking for members. We are looking for the members of Christ. Anyone who is not ready to follow this message according to the details of the message, you have missed road. Oh, this shinani. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Amen. Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. I think individual of us should be reading these things to ourselves once in a while and see your age group and see where you fall inside, so that you can know your position and what is expected of you. If not, if somebody is aged and does not act as aged, then you just fall in another group. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers. You must prove anything before you say it. Not giving to much wine. Now, this verse, so there are people, much wine, it has made some people to believe in drinking today. The messenger of this hour has told us that the only place we drink wine is at the Lord's table. You drink wine outside of that wine, you are a sinner. You have not known Christ. You have not yet repented of your sins. And you are not prepared yet to follow Christ. When you are finished and you want to follow Christ, you repent of all your drunkenness and start afresh. And start afresh. Amen. Teachers of good things, not teachers of evil things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, if the aged women wants to talk the younger ones, and the younger ones does not want any instruction from the old, then you are on your own. The aged people, they are obligated by the scriptures to do their part. I don't know whether it is done here. I'm not defending anybody or exposing anybody, but read the scriptures and feel your place. Not that you close your eyes every time. If God has helped you and your life is according to the scripture, it is expected of you to impart that one to the younger ones. If you see anything amiss, Paul called their attention to it. But if there is anyone that does not want to listen, who will deal with them according to the scriptures? Sometimes some people will say that I don't want people to poke nose. In this place, we poke nose. Scripturally, we poke nose. Messagically, we poke nose. If you have a family that does not want to poke, carry the family away from here. It's not a message family. If it's a message family, if it is something that we have to look at messagically, we must look at it. It is only when they have a need, then that is the time that we have to poke nose now. Why are you coming for need when you don't want to poke nose, sir? When you have a problem, then now we can poke nose. But when you feel you don't have a problem, then it's your family, it's a personal affair. Everything is either personal affair, or we have right to poke nose in everything. I know I'm still speaking in parable. Sometimes I become more plainer. Oh yes. More plainer. If time comes when there is need, I will mention him straight. This scripture we have been reading, as Brapo mentioned him. No, I'm asking you a question. Since you have read this scripture, as Brapo mentioned him, instead of Imanus and Philetus, who have made a shipwreck.
When we get to the junction to mention it, we'll mention names. If you have a need, we can prognose. But when you don't have a need, then nobody can prognose. You are joking. You are simply joking. There are some things that people look at from outside. They look at the church like that, not knowing there is the people themselves that are stubborn. People themselves that are hard-headed, very heady. They won't listen to instructions. You advise people about what to do, they will say, no be me, no be me. At the end of the day, they bring the problem here. You will get your own also from here. Amen. A man that cannot take care, meet his own need and take care of the people in his own household. The Bible says he's a Christian. He says it's worse than infidel. An infidel is the one that doesn't even believe in God. Say it's worse than infidel. He has not kept the faith. When people see your wife, they see you. When they see your wife, they see you. If like say this one never eat for 3 days, they know that something is wrong with you. If your wife is wearing one cloth every Sunday, until they can identify her by that cloth, something is wrong with you. If your wife don't behave well, something is wrong with you. Everything will reflect on the man. Something is wrong with you. It doesn't rule out the fact that there will be people, but everybody, it's not that somebody will suggest to you do this, then you will move over it, put it, and no, I'm not doing that one. And yet what you are doing cannot do anything. Then somebody will tell you this one, then you say you have a better suggestion. You are unnecessarily stubborn. You don't put a woman in the house that you are not ready to take care of. Otherwise, you are a terrible human being. You just want to make life miserable for the one. I know one time that some people have they couldn't tell the mother of the woman until she delivered. Why? Because they were disobedient to instructions. May the Lord be our help. Alright. Verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. As long as the husband is leading them by God's word, they have to. But if the husband is not leading them by God's word, we have to look at that leadership. Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and please them well in all things, not answering again, not following, but she in all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak
and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Amen. Second Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. We'll soon close. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We don't compare ourselves to ourselves. Every man, every woman is unique before God. And every ministry is unique before God. God called each one and has ordained them before they were born unto what and what they are to achieve in this life. And they cannot go beyond whatever God has appointed them to do. And one of the fruit, major fruit of Christianity is contentment. Satisfaction. In whatsoever position God has placed you, you are satisfied there. When you are longing for something beyond that one, it is called covetousness. And it will lead you to chaos. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11 said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to read from trying to do God a service without being the will of God. Paragraph 43 to 45. Trying to do God a service without it being the will of God. Paragraph 43 to 45. God reveals this word in this season. And to whom he chooses to reveal it to. God chooses who he reveals it to. He chose that before the foundation of the world. All of his doings were foreknown by him. Hidden from man. He just reveals them as he will. It is his chosen season. His chosen person. And he never did choose a party or sect. It is a chosen person. How he does it. Who is it that will dare to correct him and say, now Lord, you made a mistake by putting this man in the ministry. This man doesn't believe like we believe. Who is going to tell God he's wrong in it? It will take somebody that's a little more of a delinquent than I am to tell him that. He knows what he is doing. He knows who to choose and who not to choose. What to do and when to do it. No matter how much we think that a certain person is qualified to do a certain job, God knows who is qualified for the time and the season, or the time and the right time to do it. And the real true Christian, the real true believer in God, waits upon the Lord for these things. Amen. Wait on your ministry. If you feel a call, be sure that it is God. Be sure that it is right. Be sure that it is timely of what you are saying. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. If they walk, they will not faint. Abraham said that himself and brother Omar Navy, that they were walking until the ministry got to a place that they cannot do any other thing beside the ministry. That is why he pastored for 17 years in Bram Tabernacle. The field of evangelism actually started in 47. Little 47. That's why if you read the CD, just a couple of sermons were recorded between 47 and 49. That was the small beginning of the ministry. That was why in around 1951 or so to 52, Brother Amanebe was brought in, even though he was a former Methodist preacher. And when Brother Brown went to preach for him one day, God told him that you will baptize this man one day in the name of Jesus Christ. Not only that one, Brother Brown felt the lead for him to be invited to Pastor Brown Tabernacle. And when he came, he first sat down. Brother Brown said, he himself has to know this message that we are talking about. It was after he had been able to know the cardinal points in the message, then that Brother Brown presented him to the church. Even after Brother Brown presented him to the church, Brother Brown said, if you allow Omanevi to preach Jehovah's Witness doctrine to you, he said, then it is your fault. Then Brother Brown said, if I see any day that is not qualified, I will mention it to the church. That is check and balances for even somebody that with the pillar of fire, was guided to be chosen. And Brother Brown said, Omanevi also was working as a forester before the ministry got to a place that he cannot, because he has to now be the one taking the sick calls of Brother Brown when Brother Brown was not around. That is when he stopped working. Today, a minister feel late today, he don't become full time something. Every now and then we'll be receiving text messages. Bro, are you feeling? How are you? Things are hard this way. If you can just see something. You are a beggar. You are a beggar. It's a reproach to the ministry. That is not how the message was brought. That's not how the ministry was instituted in the Bible. May I tell you here? I, as a person, I never come to the ministry for money. For 3 years, I did not collect a penny from the church. It was the pastor that told me that at a point that, because when I got married immediately, there was no job presently at that time. He now called me because we were already in construction. If the construction was running concurrently, I wouldn't have needed it. But that was the opportunity he asked now to say, you should be collecting something because we have a family. Anyone that think of the ministry as a means of survival has missed the road. Is going to fail completely. Because you will come up and be a beggar. Maybe you call where everybody has vehicle, you don't have vehicle, and you think that you are the one. Church does not buy vehicle for ministers. May the Lord be our help. That is why you don't see us preaching, and our preaching is reflecting needs. A minister that does that one, he will be dead with. At least not here. Because the scripture says, let your speech be without covetousness, that you may be able to boldly say that the Lord is my helper. What can man do unto me? You must be free to be able to declare the whole counsel of God. That's why we don't have nobody we worship. This person is the church financier. It's a no-go area. You are joking. You go and misbehave, I come and sit down and see whether it's no-go area or not. Rain of fire and brimstone will come on your head. Then you can steal your bag and your money perish with you. Brother Abraham said, if God call a man, God will take care of him. May I say this inclusive? Not even the pastor has the church been able to even send out on outside the country, whatever, most of, like you going to US most of the time. He sought out his own ticket by himself.
So, anybody look. Ministry is a place of service. It's a place of labor that you will serve and serve. May the Lord be our help. God bless you. Oh my, you look at this man, say this man, maybe it's rough, maybe it's hard, whichever way, those are the things that go with the ministry. Sometimes we preach, you enjoy it. Sometimes we preach, it puncture you. What are we going to do? We owe allegiance to only one person. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever happened thereafter, we care not. We don't care what the morrow may bring, in shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord will know He ruleth over everything, and all of our worries is vain. Brother Brown was saying in closing, he was telling somebody that said that the wife wants to divorce him. Brother Abraham said, if the woman is a Christian, she will not. He advised the brother what to do, to do his own part so that things can run well. He said, but if the woman is not a child of God, he said there is nothing to worry about her. That's a quote. So that is why me, I sleep fine when I want to sleep. I don't care because I don't know who is who. We know we are dealing with three kinds of believers. It's possible there may be serpent seed here. I don't know, that is up to God. But anyone that does not have respect for what the prophet said, I don't think much of the person. I don't think much of the person. If anybody had the revelation that this message today was brought down by the pillar of fire, and it is God that instituted it, that followed the prophet, that vindicated him everywhere, and you tell the person that this is what God said about this one, and in this countenance is, you know that this one, I don't know where I come from, neither do I know his destination, and I'm not going to worry about the person. One bit, I will sleep fine. Eat my food and sleep fine. The prophet himself said, if a woman is like that, there's nothing to worry about that one. There is nothing you can do in this life that will make a serpent seed to turn to be a seed of God. And there is also nothing that you may not do or that you can do that also turn a seed of God to become serpent seed. It is either way. Every seed will bring forth of its kind. Now, whereas I care not today what the morrow may be, a shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything. Yes, and all of my worry. Hallelujah. Living by faith. Oh, by faith in Jesus above. Oh, trusting, confiding in His grace. Oh, from all I'm saved. Obscuring the brightness of light. Came to the prophet. I was telling the prophet that he has a call. He said, but he's doing a secular work. But Abraham said, that is the very proof that you are called. When you are working, it means that your motive is not even wrong to begin with. He said, it's real proof that you are called of God. Friends, God's calling is with all seriousness. It's sacred. It is either it is God or it is not God. That is why today, if a man is to be ordained, he has to carry the Bible in his hand. That is going to preach the whole counsel of God. That is what the prophet called the standard way of ordaining a minister. He will carry the Bible in his hand. It's like swearing into an affidavit. And the entire congregation that are watching, watch his life, watch the ministry, they will confirm whether it is of God or not of God. And if they don't talk that day, Brother Bam say forever, hold your peace. Because thereafter, another scripture come into being. That if God wants to rebuke God's servant, he will have a way of rebuking it himself. Why we bow our heads and our hearts are bowed. The gifts and the callings of God, they are without repentance. It doesn't come because you are now a Christian, you can start feeling the call. Immediately you get to the age of accountability. Because it's without repentance. But you have to follow the instructions, follow the guiding principles, so that you are not heading towards a catalyst. And as a Christian, there is no idle member in the household of faith. There will be something that God has ordained you to be, whether to be praying seriously for ministers day and night, whether to pray for God's presence in the church. You must know that this is your ministry, and you don't look whether somebody else pray or not. Our ministries are different. Brother Abraham said that Andrew was a prayer warrior. Say, but Peter was a speaker. Definitely Andrew prays more than Peter does. But the gifts to cast out devil, to raise the dead, was given to Peter. It was the ministry. Peter never had any record that he went doing miracles, signs, and wonders. But he's always on his knees. That is his calling. What is your own calling? Are you here as a tattler? Are you just here as a join the crowd? What is your calling? What part are you playing in the body of Christ? Or you are not a member of the body? If you are not a member of the body, then up to today you are an escort. Get inside the body by the Holy Ghost baptism, so that you can be a tool in the hands of God. Not only to preach, whether to witness, whether to live a life of example for somebody, whatever, there is something that God asks for you to do in the household of faith. Every part and every joint apply their own. If there is anyone that desire to be remembered in prayer, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, we will lift up your hand to God and say, God, remember me. I need you. I need your help. Our gracious eternal Father, we are before you. You are the only one that can search our hearts. We see ourselves in the faces, but you are the only one that sees the heart. You know our thoughts. You know our motive. You know our objective. Not only that, but you knew us before we were formed in our mother's belly. And you have a reason for bringing us here on earth, which your word said that that purpose cannot be defeated. We are before you at this hour. We want to ask for mercy if we have failures, sins, mistakes, wrong thoughts, wrong objectives, wrong motives. If there be any in our hearts, may you cleanse us, Heavenly Father. Or wrong judgment, whatsoever it is, may you forgive us, Heavenly Father. May your blood atone for everyone. Righteous Father, your word wants us to make our calling and our election sure, whether as a Christian or as your servants. Dear Lord, we can't do it by ourselves. We need you. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your revelation. We need your inspiration. Be our help, Heavenly Father, and stand for us, King of Glory. We don't want to bring disgrace to the cause. We don't want to bring disgrace to your name. We don't want to bring the grace to the saints. Be gracious unto us, Father. If there be any sinner in this place, may you touch their heart, Heavenly Father. Let them know what it is to thoroughly repent, O living God, that their sins might come under the blood. Let it be, Heavenly Father. Lord, hands are up everywhere. Some of your children came to the altar. That only knoweth why they are here. I commit everyone, body hands that are up, and those are the altar into your hands. You that knoweth all things, that your eyes seeth beyond our clothes. Lord Jesus, may you meet each one of us at the point of our needs. Grant our requests, grant our desires, meet us at the point of our needs. Be gracious unto us, Father. Thank you, King of Glory. Whatsoever, O God, that we are lacking, may you supply, dear Lord. Help each one of us to be able to know our position in the body. May we not take another man's position. May we stay in the very place where you have ordained us to be, so that we can profit for you there. Have your way in our life. At that day, we don't want to hear a voice of condemnation, but we want to hear that voice of, well done, my faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. May that be the voice that will come to every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for granting these petitions, because we have asked them all with faith and with thanksgiving. In the name of our Master and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Lord bless you. Pastor Livingstone Vusi of South Africa sends his greetings and appreciation to the church. Brother Daly that brought him also sent his greeting and appreciation for the church. And I also want to appreciate everyone that played a part in hosting them. The Lord richly bless you and return a thousandfold whatsoever you have spent. You see how small the amen is? Because you did not put, does not mean that the person that put, God should not bless the person. When prayer is offered in church, you say amen. Whether it concerns you or it concerns somebody else. But whether you even say amen or not, it will come to pass. It will be good anytime you hear of visiting ministers. Let every one of us just be up and doing. You know, I purposely did not go by the way of passing plate. If we pass the plate, what would the plate do for somebody from South Africa? Will that one take care of the hotel of one room, two rooms, one each, over 30,000? And they will eat without take care of it, without giving missionary offering? Have you want to him say put $5 inside the offering? $5 times what is the rate? 1, 2, 7. How much is that one? 6,000. Who put 6,000 inside the offering? The normal offering. Who put up to 6,000? So when we give him something and he changes it back, maybe it's around the same way he put inside the offering. Then what are we doing? May the Lord be our help. We have to face realities. You can see the blessing we receive from the meetings. When you put in, God also give out. That is the way he does his things. There's no gimmick there. When you put in, God releases. When you don't put nothing, God also hold back. These are principles that we are missing all this while. Not only that, that one is also hindering our blessings. Brad Dele was saying that he wants to take care of hotel. I said no. You are not the one that is being blessed here. This one is our own. We'll do it by ourselves. May the Lord be our help. God bless you richly. By God's grace, we'll be seated again by 2 o'clock. Until then, may grace be our portion. Let's sing 1, 2, 5 as we dismiss. Oh, we're looking for his God. Oh, in the clouds of heaven, yes, coming back to us, she catch away so. Oh, then may we all be ready. When Minna Christ is giving, she goes.
Then I wake and say, Father, all wise, come by when the hand is.